In this Friday edition, we hear more community pandemic stories. First Nations Experience shared their audio recordings of the Hoopa and community members. Here are a few more thoughts. We start with Gordon Bussell.
Hey, I'm Gordon Bussell. Ahoya, Kiku, Chishien, Hi, Takamitin, Hoya, Ahten, Hi, Otatnaen, Hi, Natanahoya, Metanu Yeo, Hi, Wanchwing, Naen, Hi, Batol, Kuyayan. So, my name is Gordon, and I'm a Hoopa Matol Indian. My dad, who has passed, was Hoopa. My mother, who has passed, was Matol Setia. And I'm happy. Well, it was unsure of what it all entailed, of what was the threat completely, and how much it was happening. I was kind of disappointed with the ex-president because he didn't deal with the using the protocols that they used to have in place. He had removed them for pandemics, how to deal with it. But now that's beside the point. But at the time, it was like, why wasn't these things being dealt with, like protecting the borders from by first closing off that area of travelers? And then they were in boats, and we heard that on TV. So it hadn't reached us. But we kind of wondered, as an individual and families, we kind of wondered what was coming.
I'm Clarence Hostler, Sr. We're sitting at the village of Takamildin, and it's where my family originated thousands of years ago. When I first heard about the flu, I thought it would just go away, and an annual flu shot would take care of it. And then watching the news, how the media just started reporting all these pandemics, outbreaks. And then that's when I was wondering how far we should venture out, because we would travel down to the Bay Area, visit our friends. And so we kind of got a routine of doing that. So we decided that we wouldn't travel, and we kept hearing more and more drastic numbers. So I started seeing on Facebook that our tribal government, with the OES, Office of Emergency Services, had started posting information and how they were working with the Kamau Medical Center and the medical reports that are local here. So you could see how the numbers were real low for us. And it got to where we decided, well, Deborah decided that we shouldn't go any place. We didn't leave home, the valley, for just a little over a year. We went twice, and that was because we had a vehicle repair that, a new engine had to be put in. So we went to Eureka to get our vehicle, but then we were so guarded, with masks and then not going to a restaurant and eat, because one of the things that when I go over the hill to the coast, I like to go out and have a meal. And so immediately that was one of the things that I really noticed was, about the pandemic, was restaurants were still open, but we chose not to go because of, the numbers that were being read off, that were being gathered by Humboldt County Public Health Service. And so we're watching that closely. And then we kind of got used to being home. We told a couple of people, when you're a hermit, you just, you don't miss going out. And so that was kind of a plus for us, but yet we still had business to take care of. And that business had to do with, our personal needs, grocery shopping. And what we did was, it was a gross little market, little store up the river up the river east of us that we could bulk order. So we ordered food in bulk, and that would last for like 3 or 4 months. And then yet still not, afraid to go to a grocery store. And But when we did go, we kept our distance and kept a mask on.
I'm Deborah Bruce Hostler. Tending to be kind of an introvert on my part, like Clarence said, it wasn't personally for us, and we were lucky because we have each other, and so, and we tend to get along pretty well. So I really felt sorry for people who live alone during 2020. I think things have really changed that way with the vaccinations of people being able to be together again. I took it seriously ever since I've heard the early news about this new virus. It seemed to start first in Asia and China, and then very soon was spreading really badly in Italy, and having had friends and family over there in Europe, I just was really curious about what was going on and really concerned, and seeing the early news about what hell medical staff and hospitals were going through. And then same thing, how bad it was in New York City. And I sent a message to a really good old childhood friend of mine who had gone into theater and moved to New York City years ago. And I wrote her a note in, must have been late March, saying, what's it like being in lockdown in New York City? And I never heard back. And I learned about a month later that she had died from COVID in New York City in early March. So I was reading that news from my friend's daughter and just burst out crying in the living room, and Clarence said, what's wrong? And I told him, and he had met my friend about 7 years ago when she came out to visit. So it was real to us really, really early on. Mm-hmm. And 2020 was so frustrating, not to me because of lockdown and masks and all, but it was frustrating to see the degree to which officially this country wasn't going about taking care of citizens correctly and carefully. And it went hand in hand in my mind and in my heart with the violations of social justice that went on in this country that became so much more evident to so many more people in 2020. And there was always this hope amongst people that I'm close to early with the pandemic that it would open our hearts and be good for the environment and good for human consciousness, even though it was so tragic. And things have gotten really twisted, it seems, and people are just being really stubborn about getting enlightened. Anyway, that's my opinion. But I think the vaccination, in the way that was developed so quickly, has been really, really good. And vaccination has definitely made it possible for people to be together more. We have to all realize that it's very time limited. We're waiting for our booster, and we're way beyond, because HUPAA was so good with getting elders vaccinated early, we're now way beyond the 6 months beyond our second shot. And so we're waiting for a booster, which right here evidently still isn't available last time we asked. And so I'm feeling like we are needing to be more careful again. Like, we can't take it for granted that we're that much safer for having vaccinated, because it's waned, that the protection wanes somewhat with time. So,
all right, my name is Norma McConnell. The pandemic has really caused isolated. I don't believe that we're used to, because elders are very outgoing and visit the families and stuff and each other, and they couldn't do that, which made them feel even more isolated as you get older than you would be. And you have to wear masks. If you don't, then the whole family comes down and has to be quarantined. And again, you can't go shopping and out in the area like you could before to see people and visit with people. It's just very difficult for elders, especially if they depended on family members to take them places or include them in parties and whatnot.
Gordon Bussell.
Well, I know that in my own house with my mother and us, you know, we had to make sure that we only had people we felt were safe coming around. We also knew that if there was FedEx came in the yard, that they kept their distance. Packages were set down on the ground so that people weren't next to each other. People weren't always allowed in a house. And this is against tradition, you know, not having people come in and all that. But it was a big deal. My mother was never affected by it, but in a sense of that kind of level of getting it. But she was affected by the loss of people visiting her, couldn't always visit her or be around her. And when she passed on this last year, that it was really hard because we could only have our family and certain individuals of family be there for her actual graveside. So we, even as a family, we ended up suffering. And I saw other families even suffer. And so it wasn't just us. We weren't singular. There was a lot of family that could not have that sharing that usually is important to a community when there is a passing. When it came to the how it affected our family, it also that we had more phone calls, more those kind of conversations, and less face-to-face, almost no face-to-face at times for periods of time, which put actual stress on us as individuals. We couldn't travel around as individuals. I used to go to town a lot. It was like I almost just stopped, didn't go to town, didn't go to places. And so we felt trapped a lot of times, even though we were lucky compared to many. We had a ranch, a farm. There was always something to do outside. I could get outside. But in many ways, I still felt trapped.
Clarence Hostler.
Oh, gee. I know for me, when the senior center lunch hour they scheduled it, and I was been going for 5 or 6 years. Get used to being at a table with certain ones, and that then we visit, and then there were a couple of older guys that we would like to play cribbage after we had our lunch, and we play cribbage, and so being cut off from that kind of visitation. Because they a lot of old people, a lot of the older people, they are home alone. And the only time they get to visit is when they're at the senior center. So that got cut off. And then a friend of mine got diagnosed with, and the treatment was to have hospice. So I talked to him on the phone and told him what I had thought was having a gathering of us singers to come together. He liked the idea. He knew that we couldn't have a healing ceremony for him, so we would still bring our songs. And he liked the idea, and we put it together. In 2 weeks, we had 32 singers show up. So we all got to sing our songs for him. About describing the whole healing ceremony that we still do here, songs help to heal, and that individuals, that the healing that individual gets is that he wants to be here longer with us, so he stays alive, okay, and as long as he can, okay? So that's what we were doing for him, and so we had quite an event, and that happened over on the coast at a place called Sumeg Village.
Norma McConnell.
I'm really not sure. I don't go out much except to the store, but I know other people are afraid to go to the ceremonies, and they wear their masks if they go for sure. A lot of the elders really wear the masks. Most of them have gotten their vaccine, so they feel more comfortable, more safer being out, but they still don't want to go out like they did before.
Deborah Hostler.
It's been a real mixed experience, and it'd be good to talk about what that meant to ceremonies, how ceremonies were called off pretty much in Hoopa. There was a way to have some ceremonial prayer happen that be good to hear Clarence talk about, and then what with vaccinations 2021, there were dances, there were ceremonies. So
You're listening to the Friday edition, How the Pandemic Has Changed Our Lives. Clarence Hostler.
Early in the reports on COVID, I went late March. I went up to a ceremonial leader's house and we talked at a distance. I asked what he had in mind for the summer, because ceremonies happened almost every weekend. So he just said that he was going to play it safe and that he wasn't going to have any ceremony. And then we get an invitation early July from the ceremony leader, and his ceremonies happen further to the coast from here. So he described what he was going to do, and he invited us as being ceremony people to join in with him at a distance. What we did was contacted our family members, our ceremony circle, just in our family, and there were 13 of us, and we met a little further over here, and we did our part of the ceremony at the very same time that he said he was going to start his ceremony. So we joined in our prayer from here at a distance. And that was good, you know, it felt good, but yet being physically at the ceremony place, how do I describe it? It's like listening to a radio broadcast of a baseball game, professional baseball game, versus being right there in the stadium. It just wasn't the same, okay? The ceremony place has so much more power. That's when I really started missing being around some of the older ceremony people, men and women, just being amongst them, just having that sharing that we established over the years. And so it was, that was a loss. Just this last year, I went over and talked with our ceremony leader and asked if we were going to dance. And so we had a conversation about how to be safe. And, you know, so we talked it out. And then he says, we're going to dance. And our dances, our ceremonies, our high ceremonies are 10 days each. So it was 10 days of deerskin dance. Then we rest for 10 days and 10 days of jump dance. So that meant a lot of people would show up on these grounds here, and just at our table where we feed the people part of the ceremony, we would feed maybe 80 to 110 people every evening. So the change that we made was to keep people safe. We had hand sanitizers, we said people had to be vaccinated. And then if you haven't been vaccinated, go and get a test. And if you're positive, isolate for 10 days and then you're welcome to come. So we set out some guidelines for people and our own families, because our families would be handling the food, the plates and utensils. So we made sure that those individuals were vaccinated and tested negative, instead of having a table set with all the food on it and then we sat down to the table and start eating. What we changed was we set up a kind of like a cafeteria style, and the women that were safe, then they would dish us up. So the public didn't handle the food. Turned out not one person from that visited our camp and sat down at our table gotten COVID. So what we did worked.
Gordon Bussell.
Well, I think that it really affected, in our case, during that time period, it was mostly the brush dances. And maybe there was a flower dance. But the brush dances is a regular thing that kind of shut down for a period of time. And it was kind of sad, because whether or not a person dances, a lot of times they like to go to it, or they like to know what's going on, like to see it happening, you know, so it got really quiet. And then the flower dances, if they were going on, it was more like immediate family, select friends, so it got smaller, you know, it changed. We didn't have the jump dance deerskin during that time period. We just had it this year, so that we did have it as a full dance. We did participate, but, you know, there was people wearing masks there. So there was some changes in the actual thing, and some people would not go because they were still worried about groups. So it did affect our participation. It did affect the actual dance. But as dancing that dance, we were trying to heal the world. So we went, as those of us that went and danced, you know, we were trying to do our best to make sure the world was healed. You know, and the jump dance is based on stamping out, you know, the sickness in that. That's part of that second half of the, in a sense, of deerskin then jump dance. But I did see the downriver where they put on a jump dance last year, and they only did it. They didn't invite really anybody, as even dancers, and they only danced like one day or so, which was not normal for that dance. It's a 10-day dance. So I see that what they did as they did what they felt they had to do. But I like the way the Hoopa did it, where they went the full 10 days. They went the full dances for the deerskin, so that I felt that was really important for the well-being of the community as well as the healing of the world, because that's what it does. It's that powerful. So I do feel that was a big step with the Hoopa people doing that, and I was glad to be part of that.
How the pandemic has changed our lives. Deborah Hostler.
Okay, there's something I want to try to express. I'm not sure if I can articulate it, and I've got a couple things going on in my head. One thing, in reading that the numbers are going back up in Europe and in some states here, I just feel really strongly that this pandemic is not over. And what really struck me last year, 2020, was how people's impatience for it to be over led to pressure for our governments, state and federal, to back, you know, open things up again. And then we had more surges and more people died by hundreds of thousands. And we're in real danger from our cultural impatience as the mainstream society. The whole country seems to be so impatient.
Clarence Hostler.
And then I got a call from a reporter from the Sacramento Bee. So he asked me what my concern would be. And what I said was, well, my concern is that the coastal population would be hit before we would hear, and that all the beds at the hospital would be taken, and where would we be? Out in the hall. And then we saw where the hospitals were setting up tents and stuff, and in the emergency room had really changed.
Norma McConnell.
Okay, they have a person that comes to your home and helps you out and gets you things, the masks, water, if you needed groceries, especially if you're in quarantine or an elder that can't get out, you call Office of Emergency Services and they bring your groceries to you. They take very good care of people here, and they have the testing every week. Even if you had your vaccination, it's a drive-through testing, and then you get the results back by calling a number. I don't know if they come to your home for the vaccinations or not, but it's very easy to get them, and you don't have to go in the waiting room and wait. They'll come, they have you go through to where they can do it right for you right there. They really came through. They've helped everybody. They don't disintegrate. Everybody is helped. As far as I know, I've been helped a lot. Well, it's just a great place to live. It's the Hoopa Indian Reservation. I've been here since 1962. And I know a lot of the people here, and we're cool people.
Clarence Hostler.
The time that over the years with grandchildren, it's always great for grandparents to see their grandchildren, and that having that big hug, you know, when you see each other, it's just so much power in that. I didn't get to experience that for a little over a year when my grandchildren had gotten their vaccination. Then, and we were vaccinated, then I felt safe to hug them. And then there were times that their exposure, I was afraid to hug them. So I'd wait for like 10 days before I'd hug them. I'd kind of put them in isolation on my own term. That it's, that was the big, that was one of the big losses right there for an older person not being able to have that feeling that we get from being with our family members. The ones that I knew that were taking the vaccine serious, taking, the precautions, when I could see that they were committed to that, the normality started coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But then the family members that I don't know where they travel to and how often, and so then I would keep a distance from them, because I'm still old school. I like to go and visit without calling. I just like to show up. It seems like the norm now is to call ahead, and make an appointment. And I wasn't raised that way. He's just, mm-hmm. Hey, we're going to go see family. We're going. I couldn't bring myself to going to see the older fam, older than me. And I still haven't, because I haven't seen how safe that could be. Just a couple of days ago, we were over at an event over at the tribal office, and I talked to one of my older relatives. She assured me that her brother was all vaccinated, and she said it'd be good to go and visit him. So I'm just going to make the time now, sometime here in the next couple of days, to go and see him. So yeah, it's pandemic has upended our life routine, but we're finding ways to have some normalcy. And it's slow.
Deborah Hostler.
With the traditional people, there's a lot more patience to endure what it takes to survive, to get through a crisis like this. And this being a worldwide crisis, it's huge. And here you're asking questions about how it has affected this one very special community, and it's hard to answer that, but I think patience has had a lot to do with how HUPA has taken care of its people.
Gordon Bussell.
Well, when I look back, and I really believe in the Indian prayer, and I pray basically every day, and I've been this way for years. I had good teachers. I have a lot of things in my head a lot of times that sometimes I just want to say it and hope people understand it. Very lucky that my kids really have listened to my prayers. They understand them, and they can say most of them, which is really makes me happy. So my biggest thing is they always say, watch what you wish for. But I would wish for people to just be happy and healthy. But it would be almost like that they only want good. So I wish for people to only want good. And they'll find something, so they'll be happy, something good, so they'll be happy. And so I really believe that this is part of the healing of the world, is for people to pray. I don't care what religion it is. I don't care if you use English or Indian, but I do believe it's belief. As long as you believe, things can happen. Satya, Hayanondik. That's as far as it stretches.
You have been listening to the Friday edition, How the Pandemic Has Changed Your Lives. The Friday edition is a production of HUPA Tribal Radio, HUPA, California. We thank First Nations Experience and Frank Blanquette for sharing their audio recordings with KIDE. We thank the Ethnic Media Services and the California State Department for Aging for making this project possible. Our guests have been Gordon Bussell, Clarence Hostler, Deborah Hostler, and Norma McConnell. The post producer has been Joseph Orozco. For KIDE, we thank you for listening.